This is SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Matt Harrop.
Welcome back in. This is Matt Harrop here on SB Nation Radio. Now let's talk NBA, the best team in the Eastern Conference in terms of record with John Godis. He works for Raptors HQ, the Raptors SB Nation page. You can follow John on Twitter at John Godis. John, first, thanks for coming on. My first question is, what is different, if anything, about this Raptors team compared to previous Raptors teams? Because I think the main issue when it comes to the general NBA fan is just trust when it comes to Toronto in the playoffs. But can you compare this team compared to previous years that could give some trust to fans?
Yeah, I think this is, if not a totally different team, then it's definitely a reshaped team than what we've seen in the past couple of years with not necessarily playoff flameouts, but definitely playoff struggles, as the team has kind of played an ugly brand of basketball in the playoffs the last couple of years, and it hasn't necessarily been great for them. So I think this year there's just more trust, as you say, and I think the team is just a little bit younger. There's a bit more naivete having young guys in there on the bench, not necessarily having gone through the experiences of the past couple of years. The team's always been deep, but I think this year the ball just moves a little bit better. There's more trust between teammates, and I think that you've gotten buy-in from your two best players in DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, which is really important for this team to be successful, because the young guys are going to buy in from day one. But you really want the veteran guys to not be selfish, buy into the system, be able to pass the ball, and they've been able to do that.
John, what can you point to as the main reason for the struggles in the playoffs in the past?
I think that a lot of what the Raptors were trying to do in the playoffs and in the regular season in past years, too, is they were trying to really slow down the game, be purposeful, and play a lot of pick-and-roll offense, with Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan being the instigators of that offense. And while it worked in the regular season, I think they kind of had a thing going where they were a off-kilter team. They kind of caught teams off guard by their slow style of play, and they were very deliberate in what they ran on offense. But I think in the postseason, the Lowry and DeRozan kind of wilted under pressure. They didn't shoot well from the field, and teams pressured them into situations where they were double-teamed, or they were being trapped, or just trying to get the ball out of their hands, and they were mostly successful in doing that. And they played teams, especially last year, I think of Milwaukee and I think of Cleveland, who were really good at getting the ball out of those two guys' hands. And when it got to the supporting cast, there was no extra ball movement, and the guys just weren't making shots in the supporting cast either. Yeah. So it wasn't necessarily a great style of play for kind of spreading into the playoffs. But, they found some regular season success, but it didn't pan out.
John Godis is our guest, Raptors HQ, SB Nation page for Toronto. You can follow John on Twitter, at John Godis. Are there questions even being asked now, like after the games, that are pointing to playoff struggles? Have the players showed any kind of like annoyance towards it, or is that even being addressed at this point?
I think the question is asked all the time, not necessarily by the media that talks to the guys every day. So maybe they're not as exposed to it, but I think they're seeing it through things like social media. Nothing really happens quietly these days, and definitely this discussion is still happening, and I think there's still a certain segment of people out there who are playing wait and see with the Raptors, and we've seen a different style of play. We've seen them be more successful. They've got 54 wins now, and they're still kind of on pace for that 60-win mark, which they've never reached before. This is probably the best Raptors team ever, but there's still a wait and see attitude out there to see what they do in the playoffs. But I think internally this team is confident. I think the young guys especially are confident in what they do. Fred VanVleet has been awesome for this team. Being a young guy, undrafted, coming in, having tremendous confidence in himself, and I think Jakob Poeltl and Pascal Siakam are more the same in that regard. And I think that they're not that worried about it. But trending of late, they haven't been playing that well. You want to see them turn that around. But yeah. I think the jump from regular season to playoffs is not going to be that steep for this team.
John, they're 30-7 at home, which is the best home record in the Eastern Conference. So that's why I think it's so important that they did hold on to this number one seed. But what is it about playing at the Air Canada Center that gets this team going?
They've just been really good at home all year, and I think that that's just, again, attributable to young players. I think that there's it's been tried and true in the NBA that when you have a young team, they play better at home. And when you've got a really good team like the Raptors, the record's more pronounced because they're a good team overall. But I think it just comes down to that. You've got players with less experience traveling on an NBA schedule. This team struggled in its first month of the year when it went on a six-game road trip and got that stuff out of the way early on. And maybe that helped the team a little bit, too, to get those kind of road woes out of the way and kind of been able to build momentum here at home. But I do think it just comes down to age. I think young guys play better at home, and this team has done that.
Do you know offhand how they fared against really the top tier in the NBA? I mean, I know they took that loss to the Cavaliers, but they did beat the Rockets back on March 9th. But overall, how have they done against the elite teams in the NBA, or has it just been all these wins really coming? I mean, the Eastern Conference is worse than the Western Conference, so they have played worse teams than, let's say, the Rockets or the Golden State Warriors. But how have they fared against the good teams in the NBA this year?
Well, yeah, well, make no mistake, I think this team, their best asset is that they beat bad teams. I think that they've shown an ability to blow out teams by pretty significant margins when they're playing a team that's worse than them, and that really plays into their point differential. But we've also had kind of examples of them playing well against really good teams, too. They've been probably the best foil for the Warriors in the Eastern Conference over the last 2 years. They play them really tight every time. They haven't won a game against the Warriors, but they have had really entertaining matchups against them. They swept the season series against the Rockets, which is huge, I think, for this team confidence-wise. And the big hurdle, you know, mentally, I think, for this team is LeBron. It is the Cleveland Cavaliers. And taking that loss was not great, although it did come on a six-game, I think, a nine-night stretch for the team. So they can kind of chalk up the excuse of not having a lot of rest coming into that one. They get one more matchup with the Cavs. But, you know, that's the mental hurdle. But we've seen examples of them beating really good teams with those Houston games and getting a good win against Boston this year, too.
Yeah, John Godis is our guest, Raptors HQ, SB Nation page for the Toronto Raptors senior editor. John, yeah, let's go back to that March 9th game against Houston, because we're based out of Houston here, and I remember watching that game. Kyle Lowry had 30 points. How reliant is this team on Lowry when it comes to offensive flow? For those who don't really get to watch this team regularly, I'm assuming most of the offense runs through him when he's on the court, right?
He's got kind of taken a bit more of a backseat this year, actually. He's had his role adjusted. He is a facilitator for this team, and a lot goes through him. And I think over the last month, he's been probably the best player on the team. That Houston game was a good example, but overall, I think he's been making his shot at kind of a ridiculous rate. And when he's doing that, he is really a potent offensive player. But, you know, a lot of the offense isolation-wise or just getting the ball at the end of possessions is going to DeMar DeRozan, and it has been through most of the season. And Lowry doesn't get a lot of possessions that are just for him. He doesn't do as many pull-up and transition threes. If he takes threes, they're in the flow of the offense. And I think that's been his biggest, you know, asset or his evolution this year. He's been able to kind of put his ego aside and say that it's okay that he doesn't have possessions that are just for Kyle Lowry. But he's been able to get his points in the flow of the offense, and I think you've seen that best over the past month. This team is really, it's a sharing basketball team. I don't think there's one player that's the focal point. And when DeRozan is on, you know, you can throw it to him and get a basket. But most of what this team is getting, and it's why they've been so successful, is in the flow of the offense.
So could you say that Kyle Lowry, I mean, I'll just admit I haven't watched much of the Raptors over the past couple of years, but could we say that that is one of the main adjustments of this team, that Lowry in the past was kind of a scoring point guard, and now that role has been adjusted, and the reason why, one of the main reasons why this is all working is because the team overall is more selfless?
Yeah, I think they're more selfless and they're more trusting. I think the young guys have proven themselves trustworthy. The supporting cast has been pretty tremendous for this team. OG Anunoby included in the guys I mentioned before had a really good start to the season shooting the ball. And I think that trust just might not have been there the last couple of years. I think there was kind of broken relationships with guys like Damari Carroll and Patrick Patterson, and just a loss of trust when those guys couldn't make shots in the playoffs. And this team, you know, Lowry and DeRozan, they're very good players, but I don't think I put them in that kind of superstar status. This team, one of their big question marks is, can you throw these guys the ball at the end of a playoff game and expect them to get a basket as you could with like a LeBron James or a Damian Lillard in the West, kind of those type of players? And I don't know if they're necessarily there, but because this team is trusting and because they are a true team, they've been able to elevate their play for sure.
Yeah, and they are a true team. I mean, when you talk about the Raptors, a lot of people talk about the bench. How has the bench bailed this team? Have they bailed them out on a few times? Just how good is this bench and how important is it to the success of the team?
Yeah, no, absolutely. They've bailed out this team in quite a few games. I think part of what I said before about this team playing really well against bad teams in the East and in the West too is that if the starters are taking it off a little bit, and those are veteran guys, and they kind of know when they can take a little break when they're playing a bad team, then the bench can come in and kind of rip off one of those 12-0 runs that we've seen so many times this year. So they really are a five-deep bench. C.J. Miles is a big part of the guys I mentioned before as the three-point shooter. And they can really just throw out an all-bench lineup, which not a lot of the top-tier teams can in the NBA, and be successful and be able to work in Lowry and DeRozan into those bench lineups, I think is going to be important for this team come playoff time, because we have seen them go a full 10 deep in the regular season, and it'll be interesting to see how that works out in the playoffs.
No, without a doubt. John Godis is our guest at Raptors HQ. He's a senior editor for the SB Nation page for the Toronto Raptors. You can follow John on Twitter at John Godis. So the hurdle is LeBron James, and from what you just said there, I would imagine that their defensive strategy should just be getting fresh legs in there to just try and slow him down. You're not going to stop LeBron James, but when you have a lot of guys that you can go to off the bench, I would imagine that's advantageous. What do you think is the best way for this team to slow down LeBron James? Because that is the hurdle.
Yeah, that is the hurdle. And I think that out of the starting lineup, Ananobi, the rookie, is going to get the assignment on LeBron. But what we saw in the matchup just last week is that Ananobi has just a tough time dealing with LeBron's kind of veteran moves, those little pump fakes, the little movements he has. OG played a little too aggressive in pick-and-roll scenarios. And LeBron, you know, we all know he's a very smart player, and he was able to take advantage of that. I think the best assignment for LeBron in the playoffs for this team, and I think what we'll see for 25, 30 minutes a night if the playoff matchup does come around, is seeing Pascal Siakam guard him. Even though Siakam is a power forward by name, he is a very rangy player. He's able to move his feet pretty quickly. He, too, kind of got caught a couple times, although everyone's getting caught by LeBron these days. He's ripping off, like, a tremendous series of games here. But he did look a little bit more effective in his minutes against him. Unfortunately, the depth for this team against LeBron, it doesn't become much of a factor because they don't have a lot of small forwards who are big enough to guard LeBron James. But I think they have enough different looks to kind of contest with him. And I think it just comes down to overall strategy. How do they want to guard the Cavaliers as a whole and not just how they want to guard LeBron? Yeah. Because there really is no answer for that.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. Final question for you here, John. And let's talk about the games before we get to LeBron James in Cleveland. Is there a team, I mean, I'm looking at the Eastern Conference standings right now, and the 6, 7, and 8 seeds are all really close. Wizards have 40 wins, Bucks have 39, Miami has 39. Is there a team, one of those three teams in particular, that scare you that could potentially be a first-round exit for the Raptors?
Well, I think that all these teams are good in certain scenarios, and I think that the Raptors had tough series 2 years ago against the Miami Heat, a bit of a different roster, and they had a tough series last year against the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't think any of those teams really scare me. I think the 76ers are on a bit of a run here, and I don't think they're going to fall back to a place where they would play the Raptors, but I am scared of them and their potential in a playoff series. But to give you kind of one team that worries you a little bit, I think it is Milwaukee and just the length that they present for the Raptors. They have guys who can guard Lowry and DeRozan who are smaller guards at their position and kind of force the Raptors to, you know, have their supporting cast make shots. And I think in a first-round series when you have a bunch of young guys, 23 years of age or younger, putting them in a scenario from game one opening tap where they have to make shots, it does put the Raptors in a bit of a situation where it's kind of, okay, kind of throw them into the pit and see what they can do. And I think Miami or Washington might be a bit more of a warm-up series besides Milwaukee.
Well, it'll be really interesting to see what happens. John Godis has been our guest, senior editor for the Raptors SB Nation page. You can follow that page at Raptors HQ. You can follow John at John Godis. Thank you very much, John. Appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.
We're back around the corner on SB Nation Radio.